I'd like to welcome everybody out who can make it to our Wednesday night services. I wanted to give thanks for this opportunity to speak with you this evening and the prayers on my behalf. This evening, we will be studying about patience. We will look at what patience is, what are the opposites of patience, how we can stop from being impatient, and how we can obtain patience. So first, the worldly definition of patience is defined as the capability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset. A worldly view of patience can be seen as one who can regulate emotions, resilient through life's difficulties, or one who can build relationships. The biblical definitions of patience is G 52:81, and G 31:15, Makrothumia. Hupomone means to be cheerful or hopeful in enduring patience or waiting. Its usages are patience, enduring, patient continuance, or patient waiting. Makrothumia means long-suffering patience and also is derived from makrothumos, which means with long, tempered, or patiently. So what does patience really mean? Looking at these definitions, we can derive that it has to deal with our emotions through a situation that might be difficult, awkward, or generally annoying to us. Through being patient, we can exhibit calmness through difficult situations, but more times than not, we don't. After we have looked at what patience is, we also have to look at what the opposites are. Simple antonyms to patience can be impatience, anger, frustration, agitation, lethargic, or laziness. We as humans are emotional beings that can exhibit a wide range of emotions in a short manner of time. Through showing these emotions, we can also show our lack of trust in God. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, says, "Many plans are in a person's heart, but the advice of the Lord will stand." Sorry, one second here. My notes are a little wrong. Here the writer is talking about how people will make their own plans to best suit them. We all have done this. As a kid, how many times did you want a specific item and was told to be patient, or possibly told to sit in time out, or corrected for not being patient? We all have had something in our lives that we wanted, disregarding everything else, and we had to have that right now. Where are we placing our trust at that point in time? We are trusting ourselves in getting what we want, what the earthly mindset is wanting, disregarding God's plan for you. For God's way will always stand strong and never falter, for He knows what is truly best for us at all times. Do you truly think our human plans are far better and more important than God's divine purpose for us? Believe it or not, but most of the time, our plans have many faults in them and are fragile. With being impatient, this also steals our peace. When being impatient, this usually draws out anger in us. We become emotionally upset through a situation that we want to turn out into our favor. We become flustered, heart rate increases, the blood in our bodies, it gets flowing, and we sometimes become impulsive. We become impatient when we plan to complete a task that ends up taking longer than expected or takes more tasks to complete, ultimately taking more of our valuable and precious time. When we look at instances that take up our time, we let selfishness creep into our lives. we are saying my time is way more important than anyone else's. We are only given a short set amount of time on this earth, but when it doesn't go our way, we shouldn't let anger and frustration dictate our lives. We lose our peace in life when we let anger into our lives. Proverbs 19, verse 19 says, a person of great anger will suffer the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, we are all sinners in this world. We are all carrying a debt that we cannot pay with our lives alone. Anger is an emotion that drags many people around us down. When we exhibit anger, we are sinning, and sin is paid for by our souls. We cannot pay this price that is due. This is only paid by the selfless act of Christ giving his life for ours. When we let that anger grow, it becomes our default emotion. When those who have this great anger are endlessly lost in a loop of anger and trouble, and it's futile to help them out of it when they themselves will not control their anger. This great anger leads to self-inflicted problems. This is not what God's plan is for us. So how do we stop from being impatient in our lives? How can we keep our peace and exhibit God's character within us? In James 1, verses 19 and 20 says, you know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. We must first realize that when we show anger, we do not represent God. When we get upset at minor inconveniences and exhibit anger, do you think that is what God wants from us? When we start to set our minds on heavenly things, set our hearts on treasures of heaven, we start to realize that being angry and frustrated is a waste of our time. When we get upset about something or someone wastes our time, what do we end up doing? We waste more of it by being angry and disrupt the potential of building relationships in a godly way. We must be slow to anger, meaning we are not impulsive or result in angry outbursts. We are patient in tribulation, calm, self-controlled, and thoughtful in our response. Once anger is displayed, it is hard to backtrack and repair what has already been damaged. So how do we obtain patience in our lives? How can we obtain it and not let laziness rule our decisions? In Psalms 27, verse 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. In obtaining patience, we treat it as a skill like communication, teamwork, or critical thinking. Without constant use of this skill, we become content with the level of skill that we have. Like a muscle, without constant movement, the body concentrates energy to something else that is being used. What better strengthens your communication skills? Does it help to sit alone and not talk to anyone? Or does talking to people and bringing up conversations help build this skill? With patience, we do not have to worry about putting ourselves in situations to enhance this skill. God blesses us with situations that test our patience. Now he doesn't use these situations to catch us in sin. He uses these situations to mold us. God is the potter and we are the clay that is constantly being molded into Christ's image. What happens when we don't take to this molding? As clay, we would dry up and be casted away. God builds us through patience and builds our faith in him. When we are waiting, we are placing our trust in God's hand, giving all to God. Now, in doing this, patience is not the excuse to be lazy. In Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12 says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name by having served and by still serving the saints. And we desire that each one of you demonstrates the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and endurance inherit the promises. Here in these verses, we are told that one, God will not forget our work. Two, we should stay eager or diligent in our work. And three, that we imitate those who have inherited the promises. Looking at the first point, God will not forget our work that we put forth into the kingdom. This work comes in many different forms. God sees all and will reward those who demonstrate sincere love and works to him and to others. This is an encouragement. We will all have times when we are left with a feeling of loneliness or despair, thinking we are alone and not able to get help from anyone. This is also where God is molding you. Through those situations, God is with you, guiding you where he needs you to be. We are the ones that get in the way of the answers we seek after. Looking at the second point, which is stay eager to continue working for God. We live in a world where we seek after payment for our deeds, payment that comes in monetary or emotional value. God rewards those who are loyal to him with eternal life with him in heaven. When we do these works that benefit God, we bring glory to him. When we choose to be spiritually lazy, we bring nothing to him. Looking at the third point, we are given many different examples in the Bible who gave all to God, who placed their full faith in him. They were able to receive the promises that were given. When you look at Enoch, Abraham, or Moses, do you think they were sluggish in their faith with God? Did they exhibit patience in their lives here on earth? In James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Patience is not an excuse for laziness. Patience is a clear choice of enduring a situation, not sitting idly waiting for something to happen. We are to consider it joy when given trials that test us. When we are given trials that test our patience, we are enhancing that skill. We are building the endurance for our race. In the construction world, we sometimes discuss working tasks in perfect world tense, meaning that all the factors that surround this task are perfect, like the weather, materials, crew size, and quality of work. When we go through perfect world trials in life, we can breeze through them without any temptations or frustrations. But what happens when the safety of those perfect world factors are not there? Do you end up flying off the wheel in anger and let impatience rule? When you come to church on Sunday, are you patient and happy? But the moment you leave, are you exhibiting anger and fall to frustration driving down the road before you get to the loop or 82nd? Patience is a choice of enduring tribulation. When we choose to endure the hard and difficult times in life and not become angry with them. When being patient, we must accept discipline in our lives. We must obey what is written for us for our benefit to get into heaven, for this is the only way. In Psalms 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline so that you may be wise the rest of your days." Discipline is the practice of training to obey rules with punishment or other undesired consequences for failing to comply. We have to accept the discipline that is before us, laid out in God's word. Not accepting this means that we don't want to know what God's word is. We don't want to know his mercy that he has for us. To train ourselves, we must start by getting rid of our sin, renewing our minds, and that discipline is for godliness. In James 1 and 21 says, "Therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Daryl spoke about this on Sunday, about ridding ourselves of wickedness or the superfluity of sin. Everywhere we go in this world, there is an abundance of sin all around us. We all have at one point or another added to this abundance of sin. James tells us here that we are to rid ourselves of this, rid ourselves of sin. Not let the wickedness of the devil into your lives and tempt you where you are weak. In disciplining ourselves in patience, we must rid the wickedness in our lives. We will never be able to stop sin from happening around us, but we can start by not adding to it ourselves. We have control over our own free will. Start by disciplining it by not giving it to the temptations that lead to sin. Another discipline that we talk about is the renewing of our minds. In Romans 2 and verse 12 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Also in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, "In that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." In our dedicated service and obedience to God, we are to renew our minds and put on the new self that is created after obeying the gospel through repenting of sins, confessing that Christ is our Savior, and being submerged through baptism. Renewing our mind is a daily task that is to be done so that we may be able to discern God's will for us. This renewal process is done through reading and meditating on God's true word in the Bible, seeking God through prayer and lifting all of our cares to Him. By doing this, our thoughts start to gradually be godly centered. Romans 12 and 2 says not to be conformed to this world, meaning don't comply to the world that will eventually pass away, a world that is full of sin. To conform is for a person to behave according to socially acceptable conventions or standards. Romans 12 says, don't be like that. We as Christians are supposed to stand out in this world because we are not supposed to be like everyone else in it. We are to set our minds on the treasures laid up for us in heaven. This is the discipline that we have to have. We have to have patience in doing this because it will take our whole life to learn not to conform to this world. The devil is a roaring lion, willing and able to attack at any given second, and we are his prey. The moment we relax is when temptation starts its barrage and leads to sin. Don't let your guard down and let impatience add to the overflowing sin in this world. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 9 says, "But stay away from worthlessness stories that are typical of old women. Rather, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily training is just slightly beneficial, but godliness is beneficial for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance." Here Paul is telling Timothy to discipline himself for godliness, rejecting worldly teachings and train in godliness. In a world with any and all information at our fingertips, it is hard to get lost in it. With everything that is wanting your attention, turn to the truth that is found in God's word. Paul compares this to training our bodies through working out. In the grand scheme of things, our bodies return to the dirt where it came from. Training ourselves in God's word benefits our life here in the world and sets us up for the next in heaven. Spiritual discipline should be on our minds constantly, looking for ways we may gain in tribulations. Again, discipline takes patience. Little by little, we are given many opportunities to gain patience in this life. In looking at patience, we choose to endure cheerfully. We emotionally respond to trials, issues, annoyances with patience. Without patience, we would be seconds to anger all the time. In a world full of sin, this seems to be true. We see many horrific and sad occurrences on every public platform. These occurrences draw our attention to give an emotional response to it, bringing our thoughts on this incident, and in most cases draws words out of our mouths and actions that are emotionally based. One powerful emotion overcomes all this hate, evil, and envy. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Love overcomes and is patient. How would the world look if there was just a little more love and patience in it? How much would your life be impacted by applying patience and love to it? How could your spiritual life become more godly through discipline? Could the world use more sin in it by you being impatient and angry, dragging everyone around you down with you, or could it benefit from you showing patience and love to a total stranger? Does the world need more Facebook posts about what is going on in this world, or could it benefit more with your thoughts about a Bible verse? Our actions as Christians here on earth paint a picture for everyone else how God wants us to be. This is unfortunately becoming more and more unknown. Be the change that builds God's kingdom and not the one that tears it down. I would like to thank everyone that was able to join us this evening. We hold an invitation to those seeking after that relationship with God, one that sees the change that needs to happen in their life. We also hold an invitation to those who may be struggling right now. Maybe you need help in controlling your anger, your thoughts, your actions. The body of Christ is here to help you in your need, to help bear the burdens that you solely put on yourself. We ask that either class come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected.